Vov Mal Cheshvan, Monday the 7th of November, Rabbi Avraham Heksher, spraying liquids on Shabbos. That's very solid.
After the battle in this week's parasha between... Good morning. So I'm holding up to that. After the battle this morning. Take two. After the battle in this week's parasha between the four and the five kings, we know that Avraham Avinu went to rescue Lot, and he overpowered the four kings. So Melech Sodom came to him, and he said, "Thank you for rescuing my captives, etc. Ten li nefesh, give me the souls back, v'ruchush kafloch, and you take all the spoils of war." So Avraham Avinu says, "I make a shvua, yimoisi yodi, I make a shvua that I'm not taking anything." And then he adds on, "V'im ekach mikol ha'sheloch, I'm not going to take anything." Says Rashi, what does it mean? The extra few words, "V'im ekach mikol ha'sheloch." Says Rashi, "V'im toim ha'litin li, if you just want to pay me, in the end of the day I did you a service. Forget the spoils of war, but I did you a service by rescuing your captives, etc. Lo yekach, I'm not going to take it." Ask the Chasam Sofer Kasha. Says, we know that there's an issa in the Torah lo sechonim. We're not allowed to give unnecessarily presents to non-Jewish people if there's no legitimate reason. Here, if Avraham Avinu was entitled, al pi din he was entitled to be paid by the Melech Sodom for the service that he did for him, then how can he just be extra ultra fum and say, "You know what, I'm not going to take anything. I'm not even going to take wages as an employee." Very nice to be ultra fum, but not if it's at the expense of the halacha. And if the halacha is that, lo yisachonim, you're not allowed to give unnecessary presents. What was Avraham Avinu's heter? Says the Chasam Sofer, we know that this milchoma was on the night of Pesach. And we say in the Piyut on Seder night, and that's why some say that, Malkitzeli Melech Sholem, hoitzi lechem v'yoin, why do you need lechem v'yoin? Obviously, lechem means matzahs and yayin for dalet koisus. Whatever, I'll go upon him. It was on Leil Pesach. Says the Chasam Sofer, we know that there's an issa on Shabbos and on Yom Tov to take schar Shabbos if someone does a service for you, a babysitter, a chazan, whatever it is. There's an issa to take money, wages for a service which you provide on Shabbos. So Avraham Avinu said, "I can't take wages as an employee because I've got a problem of schar Shabbos, schar Yom Tov." This is just another case where we see how meticulous Avraham Avinu was to be mekayim all hilchos Shabbos, even when it comes to Isuri Drabonon. Schar Shabbos is an Issa Drabonon. We certainly have to go in his footsteps and be constantly revise and review hilchos Shabbos, both Isuri Drabonon and Isuri Daraisa. I chose to speak about this morning one of the Lamates Melachos, which is perhaps less well known, and not one of the biggies like, you know, Boyer or Bishel. One of the Lamates Melachos is Melechos Zoyer. Not to be confused with Zoyreya, which means to sow. Zoyer means, with a hay at the end, winnowing. It means that after they had the tvor, they cut the tvor, they took this farming utensil, threw the tvor high into the sky, as high as they could, and because there was a taruvus, there was a mixture of the wheat and the chaff. Obviously the wheat is heavier than the chaff, it's already been disconnected. The wind will now come and blow away the chaff, blow a bit further, and the heavy tvua will fall back in its place. And that way the wind did a service for them of separating the chaff, the psoilus, from the tvua. There's a gewaldige chiddush in this melacha, the chiddush being that in the end of the day, who did the melacha? It wasn't really me that did the melacha, it wasn't really me that did the separation, but rather it was the wind that did the separation. The wind was the one which separated the chaff from the tvor. Nevertheless, says the Gemara, even though this bayah, this separation was done not through me, but rather it was done through the wind, nevertheless, I'm chay. We might think that this is not very to all of us, we're not farmers, we don't do winnowing, but it can be. If, for example, you have on your table, you have a bowl of peanuts, shelled peanuts, where amongst the peanuts you have the very thin red shell of the peanut, and you want to get rid of it. Rather than picking it out, there's a much easier way of going about it, and that is just to bend down and blow. And if you blow, this little red clipper, this little red inner peel, will just go away because it's so light, it's almost like feather. That could be an issa d'oraisa of Zoyer. Why? Because again, even though I'm not doing anything physical with my hands, the very fact that Rabbeinu Chananel says, Ruach Piv, the air that comes out your mouth is exactly the same as using the wind. I've done the separation by means of blowing. That could well be an Issa D'oraisa of Zohar. Seems very simple. The problem starts with Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says like this, Haroikik Beruach B'Shabbos. Someone who spits, he's walking on the street and he spits in the wind. V'Haroach Mefazeh Haroik, and comes the Ruach, comes the wind, and it is Mefazeh, it scatters the droplets of his spit, and it separates into tiny, tiny little droplets of water. Chayev Mishum Zoya, he's Chayev for this Melacha of Zoya. Why? Because again, he's used the wind to separate it into smaller droplets. When you learn this Yerushalmi L'Chayev doesn't seem to make any sense. Why not? The Bavli, in Shabbos, asks a kasha. Hainu Zoya, Hainu Boya, Hainu Merakid. With three of the Lamates Melacha seem to be identical. Meleches Boya, we know, means to separate. Separate bad from good. Meleches Zoya, like we just explained, also is to separate the bad from good. And there's a third one, Merakid, using a sieve, also separates bad from good. And nevertheless, they're counted as three separate Melachas. Hainu Zoya, Hainu Boya, Hainu Merakid. Says the Gemara, you're quite right. But nevertheless, they're all the same Melacha, in essence. But since they were all separate in the Mishkan, we count them as three separate malachas. And Rashi explains that boya means to take away stones, you know, amongst the tvuah, there may be stones that you take out by hand. Then you do zoya and you throw up in the wind and the wind takes away the chaff. And then you might, in case there's particles of dust, because remember dust is also heavy, so dust will fall down together with the tvuah. Then you need to use a sieve. But in essence, they're all the same malacha of separation, separating bad from good. So we see quite clearly that the definition of the melacha is to separate bad from good. Zoya being to separate bad from good using the wind. With that in mind, going back to Yerushalmi doesn't seem to make any sense. Yerushalmi said if someone spits in the wind, and the wind comes and breaks up this spit into tiny droplets of water, he's chayev mishum zoya because the wind has done it. So chayev doesn't make any sense. If the melacha of zoya means to use the wind to separate between bad and good, when I have spit in my mouth and I spit it out, there's no taruvus, there's no mixture of bad and good which the wind is coming to separate. All it's doing is breaking down the spit into tiny droplets, but there's no separation going on over here. And we've just proven from the Gemara, from the Bavli, that the definition, the essence of Melech HaZoya is to separate bad from good using the wind. All the Achronim ask the Kasha. It's clear from here that there's a fundamental machloikus between Talmud Bavli and Talmud Yerushalmi, how exactly to define Melech HaZoya. Bavli holds that Melech HaZoya means, like we explained, to use the wind to separate between bad and good. Yerushalmi holds, no. To use the wind to separate one big mass into tiny, smaller pieces of mass, because that is done through the wind, that itself is Melech HaZoya. Not because there's a separation between bad and good. There's no separation, there's no bad and there's no good. It's all one blob of spit. But rather, because I'm using the wind to separate one bigger mass into smaller particles, that is Melech HaZoya. Two fundamentally different definitions of Melech HaZoya. Therefore, the Yerushalmi would never ask the Kasha, Hainu Zoya, Hainu Boya, that in essence are the same Melacha. They're not the same whatsoever. They're two completely different Melachas. That's what Igle Tal, Shvisa Shabbos, to be Kvege, they all prove from here that there seems to be a Machlokes Bavli and Yerushalmi regarding the definition of Melech HaZoya. The Ramah, Paskenite the Ramah, and the Ramah, the end of Melech HaZoya, the end of Shin Yotes, he brings the Yerushalmi. Haroikik Beruach v'Shabbos, Beruach v'Faz Haroik Chayev Mishum Zoya. It seems that Ramah is Choshish for this Yerushalmi, that we have to worry the dinner for this Yerushalmi, that even where there's no separation between bad and good, the very fact that I'm using wind to take this big mass and using the wind reduce it to smaller particles, that itself is a shaila of Boya. Rabbi Kreger says, I was once walking on Shabbos morning, and as I was walking, Rabbi Kreger says, I was walking and I saw a man throwing out of his window, throwing a jug of water out the window, not the jug, taking the jug and throwing the contents of the jug out the window, obviously into a chotzim or wherever, so there's no problem with carrying. Says Rikaege, V'ola al dati, and it crossed my mind that perhaps what he's doing is a melacha d'oraisa of Zoya, because according to Yerushalmi, when he throws that water down from the fourth, the fifth, the sixth story window, the wind is going to come and break up those particles of water into smaller particles. According to Yerushalmi, that could be a chiyuv of Zoya. Says the Kvega, I decided not to make a fuss about it, because at the end of the day, the Bavli is Cholik to Yerushalmi. Even though that's, we've proven to Yerushalmi, that could be a Melacha, but at the end of the day, we've proven that the Bavli has a different definition of Melech HaZoya, and therefore there's no problem, therefore I decided to keep quiet. So we seem to have a Machlokes, the Dinah, the Ramah is Cholik to Yerushalmi, and the Kvega says we don't need to be overly worried about it. At first glance, it would seem that this is very, very applicable to us. Any aerosol can, be it deodorant, be it perfume, be it air freshener, at first glance, what are we doing? You have the liquid mass in the can, and when you spray, when you push on the trigger and it comes out and the wind disperses it into tiny particles, according to Yerushalmi, there could be a shayla of a melacha d'oraisa of zayah, because I'm using the wind to break up this liquid into smaller particles. According to the Bavli, that shouldn't be a problem. But according to the Yerushalmi, l'chayah, that should be a problem. And the, it could be a...
Okay.
Let's see.
I'm
not boyer anything, but that's the point. According to the Yerushalmi, I don't need to be boyer. The Yerushalmi says the very fact that I'm using the wind to break it down into smaller particles, even though there's no separation, is the problem of zayah. So, according to Bukhega, it's taka not a problem, but according to the Ma, it should seem there's a problem. There's taka shuv in Cheshav Eifei, the London Arav, of Padu Zachon Nevrocha, where Padu writes a shuvah to his granddaughter in Gates at Sem, where she asked him, am I allowed to use a certain type of hespray? I'm not sure what it was, on Shabbos. And he says, according to the Yerushalmi, I've got a problem of Zeri, you can't use any sprays on Shabbos. It could be Bukhega says that we don't need to be Cheshav for the Yerushalmi, but at the end of the day, the Ma brings it, and if it's not a Shas Adchak, he says, why should we go into such a big machlokes? However, after thinking about it a little bit more, the Chayah, it's not a problem at all, even according to Yerushalmi, for a number of reasons. Firstly, Bukhega himself says that we know there are various melachos which have a restriction that the Chiyuv is only when it comes to Gedulei Karka, things which grow from the ground. Different melachos, we won't go through them now. As Bukhega declares, what's with Melech HaZoyeh? Even according to Yerushalmi, there is a problem. Perhaps it's only a problem when it comes to Gedulei Karka. And Yerushalmi says that someone who spits and the wind disperses the spit is a problem of Zoya, that's because we know from the Gemara that because a person has nourishment from the ground, he eats vegetables, etc., therefore a person has a din of Gedulei Karka, ke'ilu he grows from the ground, and therefore his spit is called Gedulei Karka. However, says Rabbi Kveiga, when it comes to my fellow who is throwing the water out the window, that water is not spit, that water is normal tap water, and that water is not Gedulei Karka. Therefore, says the Kega, that was another limud zchus, that it could be that even according to Yerushalmi, there is a problem, it's only with Gedulei Karka. If that's the case, all these sprays which we have are all artificial. They're all chemicals, none of them are Gedulei Karka, it's all artificial, there's absolutely no problem. The Hatzvi had the tshuva about... Someone asked him, he had a swarm of locusts coming on Shabbos, and it was destroying his crop, and he wanted to know if he could spray pesticides against these, to repel these insects. We might not have farms, but the same thing is Negev. I was sleeping first night sukkahs this year in the sukkah, and when I went to sleep, I saw my son already asleep next to me, and I saw a mosquito walking on his hand. Now I was thinking, what can I do? My hands are tied. I can't kill it. I can't trap it. There's an issa of Natilis Neshoma, and there's an issa of Tzedah. So I'm putting my hands are tied. I know what's going to happen, and I didn't do anything, and the next morning he was covered. So the mosquito had a feast. But what could I do? So could I theoretically take a mosquito repellent and spray it in the air? Obviously I can't use it to spray on the mosquito, because then I've killed it. Can I spray it in the air? Similar to the Hatzvi Shaila of spraying this pesticide against the locusts. And after he talks about Natilas Neshama, etc., says the Hatzvi, perhaps we're going to be Choshish for Zoyeh, again, because I'm using the wind to break up this bigger mass, which is inside the can, into smaller particles, says the Hatzvi. No, because these pesticides are definitely not Gedulei Karka, it's all artificial, it's chemicals. And Rukhega says that even if you do want to worry for the Shittas Yerushalmi, that's only when it comes to Gedulei Karka, not when it's any Gedulei Karka. So Lechoyeh, that shouldn't be a problem. One other heta, which perhaps is what you meant before, Shimon Aida brings from his Rebbe, Moshe Feinstein, Zichron Livracha, a Gevaldige Heter. And he says, now think about it. You mentioned that when you spray, it can be there's no wind whatsoever, even indoors. Why, therefore, does the taka come out in tiny droplets? Says the Moshe, it's got nothing to do with the wind. It's because the liquid inside is in a pressurized container, and you're forcing this liquid or this gas, whatever it is, through a tiny, tiny, tiny hole. So scientifically, it comes out in tiny droplets because they're all pushing to get through the tiny hole at the same time. And therefore, it comes out as tiny droplets. It's not the wind that is dispersing the, that is breaking down the liquid into smaller droplets, but rather it is the gas, the pressure. And therefore, says Rav Moshe, even according to Shalmi, like we explained before, that we don't need to make a separation between bad and good. That's definite, that the melach of Zohar has to be done by the wind. Like the Gemara says, the chiddush of melach of Zohar is, it's a melach which isn't really being done by you, it's being done by the wind. If the wind disperses your, breaks down your spit, harikik beruach, v'haruach mefazosa, in the ruach, the wind breaks it up, that could be a problem. However, if it's not the wind, but rather it is the pressure in the can, then there's absolutely no problem. And it brings a raya for it. Someone who scatters dust on the floor of his house on Shabbos, perhaps there's a problem of muksa, perhaps there's a problem of boine, he's evening out the ground. But no one ever says there's a problem of zoya because I'm scattering it. Obviously, there's no problem of scattering because that's not being done by the wind, but rather that's me that's scattering it. This, after hearing this taina, this is perhaps what you meant before, but after hearing this taina of Rav Moshe, it seems so emes, it's hard to disagree. And it's perhaps hard, we can go to the extent, say even this tshuva of Padva, who said that using these sprays on Shabbos is a problem, he said, according to Shalmi, that's what he wrote to his granddaughter, it's hard to understand, because this taina of Rav Moshe is definitely correct. It's not the wind, like you say, even indoors where there's absolutely no wind, the same thing will happen, it's not the wind that's dispersing it. It's al kol panim, when it comes to using all these pressurized containers on Shabbos, we have three heterim. Number one, heter number one, says Rukaiga, is that according to the Talmud Bavli, our Gemara, the whole Shaila doesn't start. Because the whole Malach of Zohar is only separation, and here there's no separation. So according to Bavli, there's anyway no problem. That's number one. Number two, even if you want to go with Yerushalmi, like the Ramah says, and the Yerushalmi says that using the wind to break it down is a problem. Number one, it could be that's only by Gedulei Karka. The Yerushalmi's case of spit, where all these containers, none of them are Gedulei Karka. And secondly, says Rav Moshe, it's not the wind that's doing Malacha, but rather, it's the pressure in the can. And that's why we know that we've never heard, l'chayah, of people who don't use these cans on Shabbos. What's the other shayla? The other shayla is, as perhaps there's another problem. Even once we've got around Zohar, there could perhaps be another problem. The Mishnah Berurah brings in Shin Chof Beis a different problem. We know there's a problem of Tikkun Moneh, and one of the examples the Mishnah Berurah brings, the Gemara brings, is if what they used to do is they used to want them to make their clothes have a nice pleasant smell. So they would be smoking besomim on the fire from before Shabbos, and they would take their clothes and suspend the clothes, obviously not put it on the fire, but suspend it above it, and therefore it got the pleasant smell, the clothing absorbed the pleasant smell of the besomim. Says the Gemara, the fact that you are being moiled reach, the fact that you are being moiled a new sweet smell into the begodim, is a problem of tikkun mona, tikkun kli. Therefore, says the Taz, what they used to do is, when it came to Yom Tov and the Kohenim wanted to duchen, they had to wash the hands of the Kohenim. What they used to have big bowls of water, and they used to put these besomim, these sweet smelling spices, into the water in order to give the water a sweet smell, so that when they washed the hands of the Kohenim, the hands of the Kohenim had this sweet pleasant smell on it. Says the Taz, absolutely awesome. What's your heter to go and take the besomim and put it in the water? When you do that, you are being moiled a new sweet pleasant smell in the water. And that is identical, says the Taz, to the case of the Gemara, where the Gemara says you cannot be moiled reah inside a baguette, inside there, into an article of clothing. However, the Chacham Tzvi comes along. The Chacham Tzvi says that not only, I should have mentioned, the Taz goes even further. He says not only to be moiled reach into the water would be a problem, but even theoretically, if you'd want to be moiled reach directly onto the hands of the kohenim, that would also be a problem. And the Chacham Tzvi says, absolutely not. And he proves that even if there's an issur of moiled reach, like the Gemara says, that's only when you're being moiled reach into a beged, into an article of clothing. perhaps even into water, perhaps. But when it comes onto guf ha'adam, onto a person's body, onto a person's guf, there's no problem of moile dver. Therefore, let's take the case of deodorant. A person wants to use deodorant. The malacha of zoya is not a problem like we previously explained. The fact that I'm not talking about a roll-on deodorant where it might be a problem of mareach, a cream. I'm talking about a aerosol can. So there's no problem of zoya, even according to Yishalmi, because it's not, like we mentioned, it's not the wind that breaks up the particles, etc. And there's also no problem of moile dreach. There's no problem of moile dreach because, like the Chacham Tzvi says, there's no problem of moile dreach beguf ha'adam. Now the fact that it might go onto the shirt, if you're already dressed, then it might go onto the shirt also. So, number one, it's a davar sheini miskaven. And even if you're going to say it's a psik reish, it's inevitable, when I spray deodorant, it's going to go on the shirt also. There is a marshal, where the marshal, this is beyond the scope of our shir, the marshal says that even if there is a moile dreach, there is an issa, it's what he calls a shvacha issa. And therefore, says machzah shekel, to be choshish on a psik reish, on a zah shvacha issa drabanan, that's already taking it a bit too far. There are those who would say, yes, it's better to put on deodorant before you put the shirt on rather than after, but we don't need to be choshish for that lechoya. So again, Melech Zoya is not a problem even according to Yishalmi. And Hu Adin, there's no problem of Moile Dreach because it is Beguf HaAdam. However, if it would be into an article of clothing, then it would be a problem. And this is something people have to know, women have to know, that even though there's no problem to put on perfume on Shabbos, they're allowed to spray perfume on their body because there's no problem of Zoya and there's no problem of Moile Dreach. However, to take a bottle of perfume and spray it onto their clothing with the intention is being that obviously it will last longer than it will, the smell will last longer than it will if they spray it onto their body. That is us. That is mamish the case of the Gemara where I'm being moiled, even though there's no problem of zoya, I'm being moiled dreach into a beged. The head of the Chacham Tzvi was only to be moiled dreach onto the guf ha'odom. To be moiled dreach with kavana onto a beged is going to be a problem. The other heter, until now we've spoken about two cases. We've spoken about the case of being moile dreach into a beged, into an article of clothing, and we've spoken about being moile dreach onto the guf ha'adam. What about air freshener? Air freshener is not onto the guf ha'adam, and it's also not into a beged. I'm being moile dreach into the air. So again, even if there's no problem of zoya, because it's not the wind, all the hetayim which we said before, the bavli doesn't hold of it, and even according to Shalmi, it's not the wind doing the melacha, etc. However, what's with moile dreach? Is the post can prove that in the same way there's no issa moile dreach onto the guf of a person, there's also no issa of moile dreach into the air. The whole issa is to be moile dreach, like the case of the Gemara, into a beged, into an item, into a vessel. Therefore, we now can understand why the minhag ha'olam is we can use deodorant on Shabbos, we can use perfume on Shabbos, and we can use air fresheners on Shabbos. Because all these, they're either being moile dreach onto the guf of the person, or they're being moile dreach into the air. Like I said, you've got to be careful not specifically spray the perfume onto an article of clothing. What could be a case of moile dreach where there might be a problem? Someone has a mouthwash, and the mouthwash is too concentrated for him. So he wants to dilute it with water. So what does he want to do? He wants to take a little bit of this mouthwash, this strong mouthwash, put it into a cup, add water, therefore it's become diluted, it's become less strong, and then use it to wash out his mouth. Here there could theoretically be a problem, because this mouthwash, which has this sweet smell, this mint smell, whatever it is, I'm now being moile dreach into the water, the tap water which I'm adding, perhaps therefore that is a problem. Therefore if someone wants to dilute his mouthwash, he should either preferably do it before Shabbos, or put the little bit of mouthwash into his mouth, and then add water, because obviously once then it's already not a malacha.
You can't put sugar in the tea,
but... Very good question. And the answer is, the Chacham Tzvi, this is one of the Chacham Tzvi's proofs. And he said, no one's ever said you can't put pepper onto your cholent, or forget bishul aside, why is there no problem with moile dreach? Therefore he proves that there's no problem of moile dreach into oichlin and into blues. And that's one of the reasons why he argues with the Taz, and he says when they put this sweet smell into the water to wash the hands of the Kohanim, he says this water is an oichl, it's a food, it's no different.
Why is moile dreach? You say it's spreading it, it's not moile.
Of course it's moile, the whole thing has a pleasant smell. No, it doesn't. You've added on a sweet smell of spice.
You added it, but it's not
that's
there.
Right. In the case of the Gemara, was also there, the Besamim was there. By putting the beged on top, I was now moile dreach with the Besamim into the beged. Says the Gemara, that's a problem of moile dreach. So you're correct. Moile dreach into an oichel is also not a problem. And that is perhaps That's why I said it's preferable. Because Rav Shlomo Zalman does say that in this case of mouthwash, there is a limit for us. Number one, it could be that it's an oichel. It could be. Therefore, we're not going to say it's outright osa. However, there are those who are makpid to do it before Shabbos and to do it in their mouth. The one other common example which people have is that people have on their toilet bowl such a bar. Some of them are coloured. That when you flush the chain, it colours the water. We're not talking about that. That is a separate shine of tsevea. Perhaps it colours the water. That's a separate issue. But let's talk about the ones which are not coloured. And the water comes out transparent as it is. What's the shaila? The shaila is, l'chayra, when I flush the chain, I'm moiled this bar is concentrated sweet smell. And when I flush the chain, it's moiled the re'ach into the water. Even if you're going to say, like the chacham sweet, that there's no moiled re'ach in oichel, it's very hard to say that the water there in the toilet has got a shame oichel. There are those who want to say that. It's still oichel. No one would drink it, but in the end of the day, it's clean water which has come from your water. But, remember, we're talking about the water that you flush. But, akoponim, that's very harder to say. Is there are those who want to say, and they insist that you take out these bars before Shabbos, even if they are colourless, even if they are transparent, because there's a problem with moiled re'ach. However, the Shabbos and other poskim say that it's not true. Why is it not true? And they say, because after doing research by the manufacturers, how this thing works, is that you made a mistake how it works. You think that when you flush the chain, the water collects a tam of this bar. This bar which smells sweet, and the water which runs over it, gets that smell. He says that's not how it works. It's not the water that smells, it's the bar that smells. However, it's obviously the outer layer of the bar that smells. With time, because it's exposed to air, it loses its smell. What happens when you flush the chain, that washes off the outer layer of this bar, and therefore the inner layer has now been exposed, and that smells. So it's not the water that's... You haven't used the bar to put moiled re'ach into the water. What I've done is I've used the water to wash off the outer layer of the bar, which doesn't smell anymore, and the reason why I can now smell it, because I've now exposed the inner layer, which has the smell... That says the poskim is not a problem. Why is that not a problem? Why have I been moiled re'ach into? Not into the water, I've been moiled re'ach into the avir, into the air. And we previously established that to use air pressure is not a problem. There's no boiler, there's no toes. So, let's make a quick chazor. We started that we had a fundamental machloikas, Bavli and Yerushalmi. What is the ged of Melech HaZoyer? The Bavli says the Melech HaZoyer is identical to Melech of Boyred, it's a separation. Using the wind to separate between bad and good. The Yerushalmi is Mavur. Yerushalmi holds even when there's no separation because there's no mixture. The very fact that I'm using the wind to break up one larger mass, bigger mass into smaller particles, that itself is a problem. Therefore, we wanted to say perhaps all these sprays, all these aerosol cans are a problem according to the Yerushalmi. We had three aterium. Number one, according to Bavli, it's no problem. Number two, it's not the wind that does it. It's the pressure. And number three, it's not gedulei karka. However, we said perhaps there's a problem of moiled re'ach. And there we established even there is a problem of moiled re'ach. You can't spray perfume onto a beggar, onto a clothing. That's mamish the case of the Gemara. However, there are heterim, number one, onto the guf or adam, onto the person's body. There's no problem with guf or adam. Of moiled re'ach, like the Chacham Tzvi says, therefore we can use deodorants. And number two, into the air there's no problem, and that's why we can use air freshener. And that's the heter which we use for these toilet bars also. Al kolpanim, nizchus, mishmir shabbos, mizal zeicha zayin, mishol bizeicha, zda'atoch, v'dabrein shloim miyad, heim v'golim. Amen.